head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat Forty. I'm with the new Chariot, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanter, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And here we are back once again on the Rusty Satellite Show, number 206, believe it or not. And I am very fortunate to have in the studio with me an old friend, Tara Bassett.
Hi, Rick. So glad to be here with you today.
Welcome to the show. Gosh, it seems like just yesterday we were like doing that silly Home Builders Association show out in all those houses all over the country.
You were such a great salesman, too. 19 years of happiness at Louisville's Best New Homes.
I know, and I got it started and did about two or three of those years. And
that's right.
You stuck with it. It was a great, great project. And anyway, so we're going to talk to you later in the show about some of the things you're doing now. They're very exciting and some things you want to talk about. So that's going to be great, but right now I'm going to tell people what's in the show.
Sounds
and I know you're interested in my first guest.
Very interested. I want to pirate him.
His name is Zach Pennington. He is starting a business in which you can drink beer and throw axes.
Wow.
Seems like a dangerous combination, but it seems to work. It's a very popular idea, and he's going to tell me all about that, and that's going to be fun. So,
I'm telling you, I'm going to steal him.
Okay. Yeah, Tara, we can go ahead and say that. You have your own radio programming. Tell me about that.
Take It From Tara is on Crescent Hill Radio, 4 to 6 Monday, 4 to 6 Wednesday, and I have talk interesting people who come on all the time, and some fun things. Wagon Wednesday is on Wednesdays at 4, and as you know, Gracie had a little vet appointment today.
Yeah,
right next door to your studio. How convenient was that?
Right next to the Louisville.am studios. That's really great. I spoke yesterday, in fact, to Caroline Knopp, who was on your show recently. She helps me out a lot with this one, and so that's all great. Before we get into it, though, I'm going to talk about my sponsors a little bit. Passport Health Plan is a longtime sponsor of the Rusty Satellite Show. I'm glad to have them along, as is the Eye Care Institute down in Butchertown on Story Avenue. You can call them at 502-589-1500. Make an appointment. Go get your eyes checked. Or if you're interested in LASIK or something more serious, they are the city's best in taking care of those things. All right. So, Tara, we're going to get started on the show, and I'm going to, you know, sort of tease your appearance. What all do you want to go over when we do our real interview?
Well, we can talk a little bit about, as you said, our background, and you need to turn up my headphones just a little bit so I can hear you, because now it's completely off. But those are the technical things that are so funny. I want to talk a little bit about Bridgehaven Mental Health Services.
There is a risk when you have another radio person on the show, I guess.
Jack those headphones up, Rick. I want to talk about Bridgehaven Mental Health Services, where I work part-time. I'd like to talk about what got me to Bridgehaven, and I'd also love to talk more about Crescent Hill Radio, the other projects that I do, and of course my love of animals and all my dog rescue activities.
Very good. Well, that's all going to be very exciting, but first we're going to hear about axe throwing.
I can't wait.
All right, here you go.
I had no use for health insurance, but my mom was always saying, sign up for Passport. And I was like, Mom. She was like, for my peace of mind. It got to be where I needed peace of mind, so I did. Now my mom, she can chill, and I feel pretty good about it too.
Together we can all feel better. Call 1-800-578-0603 and ask for Passport. That's 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan, working together for a healthier Kentucky.
All right, I'm here at Flying Axes with Zach Pennington. Zach, you gonna show me how to throw some axes?
Yeah, definitely. One of the things that's great about axe throwing is that almost anybody can do it. We've had 12-year-olds, we've had 72-year-olds, and everything in between, so it's super
fun. I might be one to test that theory, but now, I understand, this is a really unique business. I understand there's only a handful in the United States.
Yeah, so when we first started looking at it, they were mostly in Canada, and there was probably about three or four that had popped up in the U.S. Since then, a couple more have, but I think we're going to be the first one in the South to open.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's pretty exciting.
That's something. And we're down here... I guess right next, for people that don't know, right next to the skate park on Clay Street.
Yep.
And
about two blocks from Garage Bar, about a block from Goodwood. So in a great spot, yeah.
Great spot. And people go to those places, can walk here. And I'm trying to describe the sport here. I guess you call it a sport.
Yeah, so it's kind of a hybrid between a sport and a game. And the reason I think about that is it's a sport because you're physically throwing an axe. So it's not a computer game or a board game or something like that. Yeah. But to me, it's more of a game because it's more about your form than it is your physical ability. So something like bowling or billiards or darts, you know, you don't have to be 7 feet tall or 300 pounds of muscle to be good at it. You know, we've had tiny older ladies in here who can throw and get points, you know, and we've had big burly biker dudes who can score points. So that's kind of why it straddles that line for me. Yeah.
Okay. So tell me about, you know, the genesis of this whole place. I mean, it looks like you're, what, a week or two away from opening?
We're probably about a month away from opening, just because of inspections and all that stuff that has to happen. But the idea came about, one of my business partners, Mike Brown, his father had a good friend who had invested in some of the axe-throwing businesses up in Canada and said that they were really starting to take off and it was a really great idea. And so Mike and my other partner, Dave, decided we should go check that out. They went up to Canada. You know, their wives let them take a weekend off to go drink and throw axes. And they ended up having a blast and decided, you know, why sit around and wait for an idea like this to come to Louisville? You know, a lot of times we get stuff later than other people. They said, why don't we just do it ourselves? So, you know, Dave talked to his other partners and then they reached out to me and said, you know, I think you'd be a perfect person to help take this thing forward and get it open and get the business running. And I was a little skeptical at first. I was like, beer and axes, that sounds pretty crazy.
It doesn't sound like the combination that most would think would be a great safety thing.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, sounds pretty crazy, but I like crazy stuff. And and I actually had the good fortune of also going to Canada and trying it. I went on a bachelor party with some friends of mine, and I saw how much fun they were having and how much fun. There was a bunch of women at the venue, which I always think is like critical if a business appeals to both guys and ladies.
Well, yeah, and it's odd. As a sport, you know, you just... We're from Kentucky. We don't think of this, but
we have about one sport in Kentucky, right? College basketball, I think.
That's the main one.
Yeah.
But you expect to make it a group thing? You
know, sure. It's a group outing.
Offices and bachelor parties, I guess.
Exactly. All sorts of groups. Yeah. Any kind of group. And one thing we're doing a little bit differently than some of the other locations is some of our competitors actually have a minimum group size of 8. Uh-huh. Whereas we could take as few as 2 people. So if you did want to come on a date night, you could just do it with the 2 of you. Although I think personally it's more fun in larger groups. So, you know, we can hold up to 48 players simultaneously playing on the lane. So if you wanted a big company party or a wedding or, you know, a rehearsal dinner after party, that type of stuff, it's, you know, we're really flexible on group sizes.
Wow. Well, boy, that sure sounds interesting, the idea of throwing axes on a date. But
it would be a great way to impress the person, assuming you do well. Yeah.
Come in and practice first.
I was going to say, one thing that's really good about it is we actually give you a coach.
Okay.
So when you rent the cage, which is just the 2 targets side by side, that cage includes a coach for the entire time. And so they're here not only to, you know, teach you safety and enforce the rules and stuff like that. They're actually here to teach you how to throw. So it's a lot different than bowling where they kind of just give you your shoes and say, good luck, you know. Figure it out. With this, you know, we not only teach you how to throw, but we also give you kind of corrective feedback along the way. Hey, you know, pull your shoulders back or step into it. And what we found is that makes the experience so much better because some people just get it right away. It just clicks instantly. But other people, you know, there's a lot of different moving parts and you almost have to let them see other people do it, try it themselves, get feedback. But once you adjust it, it becomes, it's like riding a bike, right? You kind of get a good feel for it.
It's something you can do. Okay.
Yeah.
I believe you that maybe I can figure it out.
I think I could teach you.
Okay. Let's test that.
I've taught some of the best and some of the worst. So.
Okay. Now, is there the safety issue? It strikes me as an axe is sort of a weapon. Enough of these are open, I guess they've figured out what safety problems there are?
Yeah, we haven't really seen any safety issues with some of the other locations. I mean, one of our competitors up in Canada is 10 years old now. And they have over 10 locations, and they haven't had any issues. The trick, I think, is twofold. One, we've designed the actual space to be really safe. So when you come here, you'll notice that there's walls on both sides. There's a dividing wall in the middle. There's rubber mats on the ground, which helps slow the axes from coming back to you. There's a line where you can't go past if you're not throwing. And then there's a coach in there to kind of help. So it's really, again, it's really hands-on. I would say it's about as dangerous as a bowling alley. You know, safer than a gun range, probably safer than a batting cage. If anything, a batting cage is probably way more dangerous because it's coming at you instead of going away from you. So that's part of it. But at the same time, it's kind of the illusion of danger. You know, it feels really intense when you're throwing an axe and, you know, it bounces or it sticks in the board.
Now, we haven't done, I've just stepped in here and we haven't done it yet, but I guess it gets loud.
Yeah, it gets really loud. Yeah, that's what's cool too is unlike, you know, maybe playing a board game or a video game, I mean, this is a physical experience. Like when that axe hits the wood, it's super loud, it's super gratifying. You know, wood chips fly everywhere. You're destroying the targets. Yeah. I mean, they're not, you know, it's not a cork board or something. It really, like, you've seen some of it, you can see looking around, some of these boards are really gashed up, and that's just from people playing. And
so you've been having, I guess, the boards and the cages have been up a few weeks?
Yeah, we've had them up for a couple months. We've had, you know, private party investors, stuff like that coming through, friends and family. Because, you know, we want to make sure we get the core experience right for when we're finally open to the public.
So, not to shift gears a little bit, just about you, your background is entrepreneurial?
Yeah, just kind of started a few businesses here in town. You know, I've always liked doing my own thing. And so I started a couple companies when I was in grad school. Still partnered in one of those, sold my shares of the other one. And so I really like figuring stuff out from scratch. I think that's kind of my core competency as an entrepreneur is taking something from nothing to something. So this was a natural opportunity. Is we knew axe throwing was a thing, but none of us had ever started an axe throwing business or venue before. And so good at figuring that kind of stuff out.
And you said, I mean, you're already thinking that as a good entrepreneur will, that this is going to be successful, but you're looking at other places, right?
Yeah, we are looking to expand. We haven't officially announced any of those, but I will say one of them is not too far from here. It'll be in this state, but we really want to expand regionally and even nationally. We've built this really cool technology layer on top of it with scoring and player profiles and stuff like that. So we think that'll help us roll out a lot of these really, you know, a lot more quickly.
Wow. I mean, when you say expand, like, ultimately, how many could you see this company operating?
I mean, on the high end, there could be one in every state or multiple in every state. I mean, on the low end, if we had 10 to 15 of these, it would be a really great business. We know that a lot more are popping up, and so what we're also looking at is who's going into which markets, because we don't want to oversaturate. You know, this is definitely something that, unlike maybe a Subway restaurant where you can have one every block or a Starbucks or something like that, you know, we think cities will have 1 to 3 depending on the size of the city, so we don't want to oversaturate. But we're actually friends with a lot of the competitors. You know, we all want this sport to succeed. We want it to be a thing, kind of like CrossFit has become a thing over the last 10 years.
How many competitors in the...
I mean, just brands that I know of, there's probably about 20 unique ones out there in the world. There might be more that we don't know of, but a lot of us are part of like an axe throwing league. We're starting to kind of create our own international standards. You know, the NBA was just created. It was created by teams that wanted to play each other. It wasn't just this ominous thing that existed. So we're kind of doing the same
thing.
So
are there levels, like if you were the best axe thrower?
Yeah.
I mean, are you markedly better than a guy just walking in off the street?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's why I like it, is it's a skill that you could develop over time. So it's not dissimilar from golf or darts, right? You know, you might get a bullseye on your first throw, and you may not get another one for 30 throws, right? So, or if you're like me, I get really good, and then I'll come back a week later, and I've lost it all. And I'm like, what happened? And people, you know, people give me a hard time. I was with some friends here Monday night, and they were like, we thought for sure you would win, being one of the owners. And I was like, you know, that's the sport, man. You know, if you don't practice, you can lose your skill. So one of my partners can pretty consistently throw like 5 bullseyes in a game. But the other cool thing is the games themselves, you know, we've kind of designed ourselves. So if you look at the targets, we've painted a bullseye on there, but we could paint anything on there. We could paint a zombie on there. We could paint, you know, like your rival basketball logos. We could put UofL and UK logos on there. And if you hit the Wildcat in the head, you get 5 points. You hit the Cardinal in the teeth, you get 5 points, whatever, right? So we could be really flexible on that. And we've even talked about some computer graphics we could do and some cool stuff to kind of up the ante.
So introducing this to the market, how are you going to go about getting customers? I mean, how are you going to get people to come out here?
Yeah,
and try
for
this?
Sure. Well, we've had to turn away a lot of people, which I think is a good sign, just because we haven't been open yet. But the biggest thing is that we're trying to reach out to both groups of people that want to come. So you mentioned like bachelor, bachelorette parties. That's a great group, and reaching out to them through social media. But then also companies like Humana, for example, who have multiple departments. this is a great team building event, and we could run Humana teams through here year round. You know, you want to come with a smaller group, you know, probably like 8 to 16. You know, you could bring a whole department of 50 people, but they'll still kind of pair off in smaller groups.
Right.
So yeah, working with them, and of course we're working with the Tourists and Visitors Convention Bureau. We actually just had a meeting with the concierges yesterday, so we're trying to get the word out on people who influence and persuade people what are the fun things to do. We're partnering with the local bars here as, you know, a referral, because we want you to come here, have a few beers, throw a few axes, and then head down the street to Taj or to Garage Bar or to Goodwood. And vice versa, if someone walks in there and says, what the heck is there to do in Louisville, Kentucky? And they go, well, good news, two blocks that way, you can throw axes and drink beer. So I think that, you know, and everyone I've talked to in this city that's involved in pretty much anything wants this to be here. You know, we haven't really, some people are like, oh, that's a crazy idea, but I haven't really gotten any resistance, and I've gotten a lot of support. And so I think, again, Louisville's just a cool town, and people want this kind of stuff here, and they're really excited that we've decided to bring our own version of it.
Hi, this is Alec Voles, co-host of the What Happens Next podcast on Louisville.am. We talk about improv each week with We Are the Louisville Improvisers.
Yeah, totally.
With Chris Anger and Brian Hines.
Yeah.
And Jenny.
Where's my water?
Okay. Well, right now we're just having a few treats. So we hope you can listen. Find us at Louisville.am. in iTunes, or using the Stitcher app on your iPhone or Android device.
All right, and we are back on the Rusty Satellite Show. I now know everything I need to know about axe throwing. What an interesting story that is. I tell you, that's a lot of fun. I'm going to combine that with beer drinking and get down there. It's right there on Clay Street. So thanks for tuning in, listening to that, and we'll have more with Tara Bassett later in the show. It's going to be great. I have a couple of stories I've been following that I think are worth bringing up here on the Rusty Satellite Show. I think you'll find them interesting. You know, basically three stories. You know, I've been following you. If you know this show, you know that I like to poke a little fun at Metro Councilman Dan Johnson, who has, through the years, since I started blogging and paying attention back in 2007, he's done all sorts of crazy things and managed to get reelected. He has a South End district in the Metro Council. Well, now Dan, he's had financial problems. He's had crazy ideas, like his idea for solving one of the problems when we had a gas crisis was to a moratorium on gas stations, because in his logic, mind, that meant that gas prices would stay low. I don't know how that worked, but then he got in trouble with Gus Goldsmith and because he borrowed some money, and the rumor was that he had a gambling problem. Guess what? Now he went on a trip about a year ago, I guess, on a GLI trip, and came back and got banned from all future GLI trips for some unannounced reason. Very suspicious. But now there's an allegation from Councilman Jessica Green. It was really kind of funny reading the original story about she said that when they posed for a group picture, he brushed up against her behind. And, you know, that sounds weird enough, but I could almost see that as being an accident. But this latest story, I'll read to you something from the Courier-Journal. And it just cracks me up. In the alleged incident outside City Hall, Aaron Henson, who's a legislative aide to Councilwoman Angela Leet, told the newspaper that she was leaving work last fall when she saw Johnson in the parking lot. She alleges he made a grunting noise and that when she turned around, his pants were on the ground, exposing his bare buttocks. I'm not making this up. Henson said she ran to her car before Johnson pulled his pants back up. And then he walked back to his car, which was parked behind her vehicle, and she said, he walked by again, this time close to my car, and if I had opened my door, I would have hit him, and his pants fell down again. Elected official Dan Johnson accused of this. I think the chances that, you know, he's totally innocent of all this are slim to none. But anyway, just a funny story. Johnson, I think the next election is his last. He's going to finally be retired from that South End district. He's from the South End district where I grew up, off 3rd Street. So anyway, that's one story that caught my attention. Now, if you know, I pick on Governor Matt Bevin a lot because he does things I don't agree with. In the latest thing that he's done, I think last week I talked about him going down to the West End. And he met with a bunch of religious leaders and then some members of the public. And his idea for reducing violence in the West End was for everybody to get out and pray on street corners. And again, he thought the solution to the violence is to pray on street corners. So he got mocked a lot about that. A lot of people made fun of him. Some people that I'm still trying to get on the show, Joe Phelps, who's very outspoken. There's been a lot of editorials in the Courier criticizing Bevin for this move. And so Bevin went on Leland Conway's show on WHS Radio this week, and here's the quote that most people are paying attention to. It says, he said, quote, "Those who hate God and hate this administration were happy to mock that." Okay, so if you're opposed to Bevin now, you hate God and hate his administration. It's just the things that government officials will do. I never thought it would come to this. But anyway, Bevin is, I don't know. I don't know. His idea was to organize prayer groups to walk the blocks in a West End zip code several times a week for a full year. And most of the people in the West End were either insulted or they felt that, he was totally out of touch. And you know, my whole thing is he's pushing one religion. And religion has no place in politics. That's just something that's really clear to me. So anyway, so that's going on. And the other controversial thing that is happening in our city is the release of this University of Louisville audit. Now, we've all known or suspected for many, many months that there's some stuff going on at U of L involving money and Dr. James Ramsey that was not above board. And it turns out that the audit that was, it cost about $2 million, $1.7 million for this audit to be conducted. And it found that the foundation, the U of L Foundation, which is a separate entity from the university, but Ramsey was also president of that, and the audit found that the foundation had liquidated $42 million of its endowment to cover what it called unbudgeted spending. And it said staffers failed to properly account for transactions, lowballed the numbers on investments, foundation overpaid for real estate, it bought properties for the Athletic Association in change for cash and tickets, and of course it overpaid a lot of people. Some salaries, including Ramsey himself. It's a real embarrassment. If you happen to be a contributor to the University of Louisville and thinking that your money is going to good things that are going to happen in terms of education and things that are going on, I don't see how you can give them another dollar with this kind of misspending. It's a really bad thing for the university. Athletics was a big part of this audit, and they found that there were some really crazy spending on athletics, and it also involved overpayment of salaries. Salaries paid, apparently the foundation was paying a lot of Athletic Association employees, and just for the purpose of the nefarious nature of this, there are two things. One is that the audit found that the Athletic Association was paying Tom Jurich's son, Mark, to avoid the appearance of nepotism, when, in fact, it is nepotism. I mean, that's exactly what it is. And so he made a bunch of money on that. And there was another part of the audit that found that Kathleen Smith, who's in the middle of this controversy, was said to have made things appear confusing to the media. So, what that proves is they knew they were doing something they shouldn't be doing, but they felt it necessary to present it in a way that would be confusing to the media. All right, and you wonder how people get away with this, and I don't know how they get away with it, you know, or what they think going in, because Ramsey, you know, he was president and considered to be a great president of the university for maybe 10 years. All of a sudden, get greedy and decided he needed more money for himself and his staffers? Is that something we need to worry about with people that are in jobs for so long? I mean, Greg Fisher is going to be on his third term as mayor. You know, Jerry Abramson, in his last term as mayor, bad things happened. Corruption happened. So it's something to really look out for, I think, as we go forward. I can recommend something to you if you have HBO. HBO Films did a movie called The Wizard of Lies about Bernie Madoff and what he did in New York and built people of, I think the number was $65 billion. A lot of money, and a lot of people, you know, people that weren't rich, they had their life savings tied up in this, and it was all a scam. You know, it was brilliantly acted, brilliantly presented, and Madoff just simply was perpetrating a fraud. And it, you know, there was no end game. He was going to do it as long as he could get away with it, is what I came with. But so I strongly recommend you check that out if you're interested in that kind of thing. A real true story about Bernie Madoff and what he did. So anyway, that's enough of the really serious stuff going on in the city. I'm very looking forward. I love this time of year because it's Father's Day on Sunday. Luke, it's Father's Day on Sunday. He knows about it. I have three sons. I'm very proud of all three of them. Nick, as you know, is in, if you may not know, if you don't listen all the time. My son, Nick, is in Italy studying theater at a very prestigious school, Academy dell'Arte. My son, Josh, is living in Denver. He is an employee of Google. And I haven't gotten any Google. Maybe this is it. This is Father's Day. This is the time. I'm going to get some Google stuff. I want some swag from Google, Josh. That's really what needs to come to Louisville. Hoping to get out there again. Josh has got a great situation out there in Denver. And, of course, Luke is right here in Louisville. I see him every week. We have lunch and talk and sometimes play golf. I think we're going to play golf for Father's Day on Sunday. So that's going to be fun. So anyway, that's the end of this part of the show, and I am very much looking forward to sharing my interview with Tara Bassett. I remember one time I called her Tara, and she about ripped my head off. Just kidding, Tara. she's very nice, and very glad to get to talk to her again about a lot of things that are going on with her, Crescent Hill Radio, Bridgehaven, mental health. And she's a very busy, very active, very energetic a person. I think you'll enjoy hearing our interview. So stay tuned, and then I'll be back to wrap up the show.
Hey, this is Dan Vonderhyde.
Stephanie White.
And we are 40-ish.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
We talk about it every week on the 40-ish podcast. What do we talk about?
Wisdom. We drop some wisdom and just everything that's going on in our lives that relates to what might be going on in yours.
We have guests. We talk to people on the street. We're dropping knowledge all over the place. You can hear it every Wednesday. Comes out on Louisville.am.
All right, and I am back with you on the Rusty Satellite Show. This is Rick Redding. In the studio with me is Tara Bassett. To I guess everybody in town knows you from one of the things you've done in media throughout a long career, right?
Well, that's a compliment. Thank you so much. And you know, I never assume that, though. When I meet somebody, I say, hey, I'm Tara Bassett. And sometimes they'll say, were you my first grade teacher? Are you my bank lady?
I always say, don't you know who I am?
Oh, that's terrible. I know somebody who actually did that. That is not a good idea. But I never assume. And sometimes they will say, oh, yeah, I saw you on TV. So I started out 100 years ago at Wave with Hugh Finn, Tom Wills, Craig Edwards.
Wow.
All the big ones who I absolutely love. Tom taught me how to do the weather along with John Belsky. And so I had two great teachers. I did weather for a long time and became a meteorologist. And then I was also, as you said, contemporaneously doing Louisville's Best New Homes and American Financial Skylink for the American Bankers Association and Dawn at the Downs. Don G and I started doing that with John Yarmouth, believe it or not, as our co-host.
That's amazing.
That was funny. And so we did a whole bunch of wonderful things, and I've had a great career.
Do you think, see, I have this ongoing theory about weather. Since you have some experience in weather, I believe that the weather people like get the real forecast and they say, okay, there's not enough rain in it. Let's scare people. Let's make it worse than it really is.
Well, I'll address the first question. What is the real forecast? Because now meteorologists are doing all their own forecasting. It's not a rip and read where you get the National Weather Service forecast and then go from there. It's a, you know, examine all the models and make up your own forecast. So it's the individual meteorologist's responsibility. But I tell you what, they're fairly accurate, but weather is never an exact science.
I know. I expected you to defend them, but...
Well, I'm one of them. I think
it's awful that, you know, they scare people. You know, just a couple weeks ago, the Louisville Independent Business Association, you know, LIBA, those people.
Yep.
On Friday, there was a forecast of rain. Their event was Sunday.
And it was beautiful.
And it was a beautiful day, and they canceled it because they were so scared of the frickin' weather.
Yeah. Well, and I can tell you one thing, Rick, that when something is forecast more than a couple of days out, the immediacy of a forecast is much more accurate than the long range.
There you go. No question
about it.
Well, I do pass the blame on to like people that run the school system and people that run those events that basically say, oh no, there's going to be weather, well, let's cancel our event. And I don't think they should do that.
That's a very difficult call. Yeah.
Yeah. It shouldn't be. But all right, enough of my soapbox.
you try forecasting the weather, Rick. You get in there and look at those models.
I could get it just as good as Kevin Harnett. I know.
I've had
him on the show,
him.
And he takes my grief a lot very well.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about your journey. You work now. You have a position over at Bridgehaven Mental Health, and tell me that story.
I've been associated with Bridgehaven Mental Health Services for over a dozen years, and I've emceed their events. I got to know them many, many years ago and just loved the organization, loved the agency's services provided to people who have serious and persistent mental illness in town. And we call it Louisville's Best Kept Secret because it's down on 1st in Kentucky, and there has just been extraordinary service provision, but there hasn't been a lot of publicity. So I actually hit a point in my life where, as you know, we had a recession in 2008, 9, 10, and the Home Builder Show went by the wayside because the builders were going out of business, frankly, and they were our bread and butter, as you know, because you sold to them. And I lost a talk show that came after that because of the sale of the station. And then I went to work for Lynn's Paradise Cafe. And you know the story there. Shut the doors 8 months later.
I'm not going to have you on, you know, as a regular thing on this show. It'll end the show.
Yeah, we don't want to do that. But with that and a couple of other extenuating circumstances, I hit a depression. And I slid so far down, I could not crawl, walk, or climb out of it. And I had a lot of great people who were supporting me. But it came down to one thing. Would I be able to revive my life or not? And you have to make, you know, things happen for yourself. And I actually got great depression and recovery treatment out of town, had to go someplace else because there really isn't anything here that serves that particular purpose except for hospitals and, you know, psychiatric rehab centers. And, you know, Bridgehaven did a lot to help me too, but I required inpatient. I was really, really sick. I came back to Louisville, and Ramona Johnson, who is the CEO and president of Bridgehaven, reached out to me, and she said, Tara, we have an opening, and we would love to talk to you about filling it. And the rest is history. I've been there since the middle of 2014. I do communications and marketing. I also am a peer support specialist, although I'm not working in that capacity. And what we do is we receive training to be able to talk to people who have a mental illness, and depression is one. Many people don't know that. We talk to them and say, we've come through this to the other side. You can too. Let me share my experience, strength, and hope with you, and you talk and I'll listen. Okay. So these are all the things that I do. We have awareness luncheons the second Wednesday of every month. We have a wonderful breakfast the Wednesday after Thanksgiving and other events throughout the year. And we also are starting a video campaign for awareness, and you can look at it at bridgehaven.org.
Well, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I'm curious about depression. When you say, when you talk about that, you say depression is a disease. I wonder. I mean, you had all these bad things happen.
Right.
Okay. If you hadn't had those bad things happen, I mean, maybe you think it was in you eventually to come out, or were the or would it not have appeared?
Well, you know me from way back when. We met in 1990, 1991, right?
Exactly.
You knew that I was an upbeat person.
I was a young pup, yes.
Could you ever have imagined someone with my personality of being depressed?
It doesn't seem like it.
No. So that's why we say depression does not discriminate based on age, gender, sexual orientation, color. It doesn't matter. So, an African-American is as likely to be depressed as a Caucasian.
Sure.
50-year-old person is as likely to become depressed as a 25-year-old. There is no distinction.
Okay.
So, yes, the fact is I did become depressed. And, I went through that wonderful thing called menopause.
Mm.
And, had some other things happening. And all those things kind of created the perfect storm. And it's often found, and this is unusual, and I didn't know this, that women in their low to mid-50s can suffer a severe depression as easily as someone who comes out of college and says, oh my God, I can't get a job.
Mm-hmm.
And also depression is not, oh, I broke my heel, I'm so depressed. Or, oh wow, I have to change schedules at work, I'm so depressed. It's, I'm almost ready to not live.
Yeah, I don't have anything to do with that's worthwhile.
That's the kind of depression I suffered.
Well, that's tough. That's tough. But one of the things that makes you happy, we'll do a what they call a segue here. The things that make you happy, animals. We're right next to the animal
Absolutely.
Hospital. You got your dog over there.
She's getting a shot. It's no big deal.
Okay.
Thank God. We spend enough time with big deals up here. She's one of three. That's Gracie, and she's a 12-year-old Beagle Jack Russell. Her big brother Brady is 10, and he's a Lab Dane, so he's a big boy.
Okay.
And then Wyatt is an 8-year-old happy little shepherd husky mix. And we go down to River Road Country Club, the old abandoned golf course, every day that we can, and we run. So they are all in excellent condition. Nobody would believe they are their ages. And because of the puppy pack, as I call them, I have been so inspired to become a part of the dog rescue community. And as I said earlier, Wagon Wednesday is a show on Crescent Hill Radio
okay.
that I host on Wednesdays at 4. And I have all kinds of animal interests. So if anybody's interested in coming on and talking about it, it doesn't matter if it's dogs, cats, horses, potbelly
pigs. So you just
pigs.
Come on and talk about your dog, right?
Well, we talk about animal interests.
Okay.
And the Second Chances Wildlife has been on to talk about rescuing exotic animals.
Wow.
And yeah, it's a lot. So I love being involved with any of the rescues that you see on Facebook. Do
okay.
all I can to raise money for them, too.
Okay, well, that's a good thing. And you when we started, you said, oh, you're a dog lover. Well, I'm not really a dog lover. My girlfriend will vouch for that. She's got two dachshunds, and I don't dislike them, but...
Okay, I'm done. See ya. I'm going to drop these headphones right here on the table. I'm out of here.
They're very nice dogs, and they're getting up there in age, and... If dogs were able to fend for themselves, and feed themselves and not poop in the yard and all that, then we'd have something. I think that would be
just
the ultimate.
I'm looking at your face, just wanting to punch you right in the gut, Rick.
Well, when they find one that does that with its own poop, that's good. So
there are
Crescent Hill Radio.
There are some who eat it.
Well,
cleaning it up.
Yeah,
it's called coprophagia.
I've seen dogs that eat
yeah.
their own.
Maybe you should
poop.
Teach them.
Yeah, that would. Then the when it comes out the second time, I think it's even worse. But that's even grosser.
Yeah, it is.
A better topic, Crescent Hill Radio, which certainly people are familiar with. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, first of all, Crescent Hill Radio is the only outlet in town that features only local and regional musicians. And we consider that Southern Indiana up to Madison and all of Kentucky. There is no one else who dedicates their airtime to people who are here. There's
right.
a lot of national acts. There are a lot of people who want to come in and do their shows. And we say, are you local? Are you regional? If you don't fit into that criteria, we'll send you someplace else. But we have so many talented people in this town who are members of bands or who are singer-songwriters.
Mm-hmm.
And I have done the show Take It From Tara since 2012. And the idea is, if I say Rick Redding is a good-looking guy, you can take it from Tara that he is. That's where it started.
Well, let's start that rumor. Let's get that going.
It's a good thing. So that's Crescent Hill Radio is a wonderful outlet. We have a lot of music shows. I also host the Homegrown Radio Hour on Wednesdays, which is a lot of fun. So you can catch it next week since we've beaten it already this week. But Wednesday at 7, and just have a great time. We all have wonderful shows, a lot of great DJs, and we get out into the community and do a lot of fundraising too.
Okay. Well, you know, I went to a great local musician event last weekend. Did you hear about the Tim Crackle Fest?
Absolutely. We love Tim. We still play his music with a tremendous amount of love, even though he's moved on to the great big band in the sky.
Well, I tell you, it was an interesting story. I had Steve Eilers on the show last week, and Steve was one of Tim's great friends, did the art for his CDs, and they had this big deal down at Saints, and I went expecting to stay maybe half an hour, and
I stayed all night.
I stayed exactly, quite a while.
Exactly.
Great music, great people, bunch of hippies. Really.
Well, yeah, because perfect fit, you know. And you're going to see a lot of yuppies at some bands, and then you got the 20-somethings. And I just love watching the people who come to these events, who come to the concerts, who come to the bars. I mean, you know how many bars and restaurants we have in this town. And one person in particular who I just love is Heidi Joy Stenson. She sings with the Moonlight Peddlers. She's also Wildflower Chronicles. And she recruits a lot of people. She also books a lot of acts. She connects people. Katie Didit, who came in, and she's with Moonlight District, and she just moved here from Eastern Kentucky because of the music scene. So these people are just phenomenal, and they are bringing people together to do concerts like that and other special events. And you know, they just all are very close to my heart. They work hard for their money.
All kinds of great stuff going on in Louisville, Kentucky. And Tara, it's great that you're involved in doing all this stuff. And
one of the things that you've experienced too is Facebook Live and the popularity of Facebook Live. Mm-hmm. And I do all my shows on Facebook Live, and the hits that we get, phenomenal.
Well, we should have done this one.
Well, that's okay.
Everybody's miss out on that.
I can actually whip out my phone and do it. Well, there it goes.
It's right on the desk.
Oh, there we go. I'll just do a last couple of seconds of it.
Okay, because we got to wrap it up right now because we are out of time. And
I hate that, Rick, because I love being with you.
Well, Rusty Satellite listeners have come to expect after 400 or so of these interviews that they won't go more than 12 or 13 minutes.
I'm amazed. 400, that's pretty good.
That's a lot.
What year did you go on the show?
2013.
Fantastic. Good for you.
So it's all fun, but we'll see you. Maybe I'll get over to Crescent Hill Radio sometime.
I'd love that.
And thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for being with me. I appreciate it, Rick.
And here we are, rounding third, heading for home for the 206th episode of the Rusty Satellite Show, the best and longest running podcast in the city of Louisville, where I always talk to the most interesting people in the Ville. I think I fulfilled my mission this week. Zach Pennington over with the axe throwing. You got to get down there and check that place out. That's going to be a lot of fun. And big thanks to Tara Bassett for coming here into the Louisville.am studios and talking with me. Again, it's great to catch up with old friends. That's for sure. This show is presented each and every week by my friends at Passport Health Plans and my friends at the Eye Care Institute. Both those great sponsors help make this show possible and help keep me coming back week after week. So anyway, I've got a lot of great plans for the show in the coming weeks, and I hope you will stay tuned and become a regular podcast listener. Our audience numbers are great, and I really appreciate those of you who tune in. And if you got any suggestions for me in terms of somebody you think would be a great guest on the Rusty Satellite Show, just let me know. You can email me, I guess would be the best way, at rick@louisvilleky.com. I keep up with lots of things that are going on in the city. And you can also check out louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city. We post a lot of the events going on in the Ville right there. This weekend is the start of the College World Series. The University of Louisville made the College World Series. Thank goodness they beat UK in a dramatic fashion last weekend to make it to the College World Series. The fourth time, I think, in 10 years. Amazing record. Dan McDonald, who has been on this show, and there's a lot of other stuff to do. Go out and enjoy Father's Day. Celebrate the fathers in your life. And Luke, that means you. Just kidding around. Luke knows about Father's Day, and certainly I'm looking forward to it. So anyway, I'll see you next week on the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests.
You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.